Are you feeling overwhelmed by life's challenges? Do you feel like there's nothing to be thankful for? Well, Peter offers a fresh perspective. Written to believers facing trials, it's a powerful reminder that even in a blizzard of trouble, there's hope. In the next few minutes, you'll hear how Peter's words offer a fresh look at joy. You'll discover that no matter how deep the snowdrifts of sorrow, you have a reason to rejoice.
J. Allen Blair, a former pastor and author, once told the story of a pastor he knew who always seemed to be thankful about something, no matter what. He pastored a small church in a farming community, and everybody knew about his thankful spirit. Every Sunday, they knew their pastor would open the service by thanking God for something in his pastoral prayer. Well, one particular weekend, it brought an unexpected blizzard along with a cold front that blew in from the north. As this little congregation, rode their horse-drawn carriages and carts to that little country church, some even walked through the snow, they all were wondering, what their pastor could possibly be thankful for on a day like this. Well, as the service opened and he stood to pray, the congregation couldn't help but smile when they heard him say, "Heavenly Father, we thank you that not every day is as bad as this one." Well, if you're feeling like there's not a lot to be thankful for today, you've arrived at the right place on our wisdom journey. We're in 1 Peter, just in time. Now, as we set sail today into Peter's first letter, we ought to know right away that he's writing to people who can't imagine much in life to be thankful about. They're facing a blizzard of trouble. The letter opens with Peter mentioning various areas to which these believers have been scattered because of persecution. Verse 1 lets us know that they're living in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God. You see, they hadn't planned on being scattered, but God had planned it. From their perspective, maybe yours today, you're scattered. From God's perspective, you've been appointed. You've been planted or placed. These believers are going to expand the influence of the gospel in the first century throughout all of these regions, all of which, by the way, are located in what we call today the country of Turkey. Now with that, Peter writes here in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now the New Testament Greek doesn't have an exclamation point, but one seems appropriate here to just sort of convey the intense emotion of Peter. Peter simply says to God the Father and God the Son, "Thank you." Peter is setting an example for them and us today. It's a good practice to always give thanks to God about something. Even if you have to say, "Lord, I'm glad every season of life isn't as hard as this one. The cold winds are blowing against me and the trials are piling up around me like drifts of snow. But thank you that it's not always going to be this difficult." Now, don't misunderstand. Peter isn't telling them or us to give thanks for the trouble they're facing in this dispersion, for the loss of their homes and their jobs and friendships. Peter's focusing their attention on something that they and we can always thank God for, on what we would call the glory of salvation. He writes here in verse 3 that God had caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, we don't have a dead hope. Our hope is alive because Jesus Christ is alive. Now here in verse 4, Peter says that this living hope is of a future inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. We're going to explore and manage and enjoy a new universe one day, beloved, along with a brand new earth that's going to last forever, Revelation chapter 21. Now, let me just key in on one idea, that our future glory, here he writes, will be unfading. It's like the shrubs you plant that stay green year-round. It's not like the fading beauty of flowers that eventually wilt and dry up. But this also carries the idea of undiminishing delight. Have you ever thought about the fact that no matter what you purchase, you soon get over that initial excitement? It's true of that new outfit or that new car. Even that new house fades over time. You aren't as excited about it as you were when you first walked through the front door. Well, Peter says here that our thrill and our joy will never diminish. Our heavenly home will be as exciting a billion years from now as it was when we first walked through the front door. Now, is it possible that we might lose our inheritance, that some, you know, fine print in the contract might keep us out? No, Peter says here in verse 5, we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So in other words, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are actually being guarded. You're being kept for your future inheritance. Peter writes here in verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. He explains further in verse 8, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, knowing, verse 9, faith brings the salvation of your souls. Now with that, Peter moves on here in verses 10 through 12 to write that even the Old Testament prophets couldn't fully grasp the glory of God's plan of redemption, a plan that's fully revealed in this New Testament dispensation in which we live today. Let me tell you, beloved, it's a privilege to be living on this side of the cross of Christ, in this dispensation, this epoch of time, the church age, where we have the completed scriptures, we can understand the full story of redemption. Peter writes here in verse 12 that the angels even long to look into our salvation. They're curious. They're intrigued about you and me, beloved. Mere mortals who are being given this promise of one day sharing the eternal inheritance with the Son of God, with Jesus Christ. Now, in the next few verses, Peter moves on to challenge us with some of the obligations of salvation. It's been freely given to us, but it ought to cause us to respond in certain ways. And the first of these obligations is to pursue holiness. Peter writes here in verse 13 that we ought to be preparing our minds for action. Your translation might read, to gird up the loins of your mind. Well, this pictures a man in Peter's day pulling up the bottom of that long outer garment and tying it up in his belt so that his legs are free to work and to move quickly. The idea for us here is to pull our thoughts together. Let's be clear thinking about our lifestyle. In fact, Peter tells us what that would look like here in verse 14. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now, here's a second obligation of salvation, and it's reverence for God, what we might call holy fear. That's reverential respect for God. Peter writes in verses 17 to 19, conduct yourselves with fear, knowing that you were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. The word for ransomed here was used for buying prisoners of war or paying the price to free a slave. Peter makes it clear that all the silver and gold, all the money in the world, wouldn't be able to purchase one person out of spiritual bondage, spiritual slavery to sin and death. But we've been ransomed. How? Well, the currency in this case is the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a third obligation of the saved. It's stated here in verse 22. Peter writes, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, through the living and abiding Word of God. Then here in verses 24 and 25, Peter actually quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. He's reinforcing the importance of God's Word now as our daily guide. He writes this, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." So, beloved, no matter how cold those winds of adversity, no matter how deep those snowdrifts of sorrow you might be feeling today, here's what you can do. We can thank the Lord for our past salvation. We can thank the Lord for our future glory in heaven. And we can thank the Lord for the Word of God, which guides us now and every day until that day when He calls us home. Well, until we set sail again next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. This lesson is called Finding Joy in a Blizzard of Trouble. Life's troubles can feel overwhelming, but Peter reminds you that joy is still possible. Your hope is alive because of Christ, and your future inheritance is secure. No matter the storms you face, you can trust God's plan. Remember, joy is not found in your circumstances, but in your salvation. Do you have a need or concern and want someone to pray for you? We'd love to help. Our prayer team prays for each request by name. Simply visit wisdomonline.org/prayer. Fill out the form and know that we'll be praying for you. If you provide your phone number, someone will even call to pray with you directly. Also, we invite you to join our global prayer team. Stephen's lessons are being shared in over 150 countries, and each week we pray for one of those nations. We ask God to use His Word to transform lives. You'll receive an email with specific prayer points for our ministry and that country of the week. Sign up at wisdomonline.org/prayer. I'm Scott Wiley, and for Stephen and the rest of the Wisdom team, thanks for listening. Please join us next time to continue traveling along the Wisdom journey.